are recording.
Okay, so this is the April 6, 2017 meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors. We do have a guest, and you're going to have to apologize to you. I cannot remember your name, and Ron's told me three times.
That's okay. Stephanie Shule with Topcore.
Stephanie Shule is our new property manager person.
She's taking over for Mark Frost.
Yes, but she's going to be talking to us toward the end of the meeting. So welcome.
Welcome.
And I think we don't have any other guests. While you're eating, this was really helpful to me because I've had trouble conceptualizing the consent agenda, so I'm going to do a little review here. You've got a consent agenda in front of you. It is fairly lengthy, and many times it is fairly lengthy. The idea, obviously, is to save us time. But the other idea of a consent agenda is that you get it in enough time so that you can read it before the meeting. And speaking strictly for myself, boards that I have been on, that does not always happen. And it's hard to make yourself do that. So this is a reminder to, you know, please try to take the time to read over those things before you come to the meeting. But because we're eating, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes and just page through what you've got here. Think about it just a little bit.
I do have two modifications.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and...
And they impact the consent agenda.
Okay.
Minor modifications on 6D number 2, which is the audit committee RFP.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to... We're requesting ratification subject to changes to the schedule. We put a schedule in the RFP, but we're having a little trouble scheduling the audit committee to meet to do the evaluations, so we'll have to have some flexibility in that. And then the other change is in the last item on the consent agenda related to the general counsel's contract. It says additional year through September 20th. It should say September 30th.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, just look through, and because the idea is that if anybody has a question about anything that is on the consent agenda, we just move it to the regular agenda, we answer the question, we have the discussion as needed. So it's never an intention to gloss over something or keep you from reviewing something. So as you look through, just, you know, think for a minute, and then... Thank you. And so what I'm going to do while you're doing that is I'm going to actually read through the items. So I could do that, or Ron could do that. And then after I'm finished with that, I'm going to ask if anybody has anything that they have questions about or want to move to the regular agenda. So we've got the regular stuff in here. We've got the treasurer's report. That is always there. We have the investment report, same thing. We have the executive committee report. The audit committee report as amended by Ron. And so hopefully everybody knows this is about having an RFP for professional auditing services, which periodically we have to do RFPs for our professional services.
And that was looked at by both the audit committee and the executive committee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. On this...
And I might add,
yeah,
we have no issues with our current auditor.
Yeah,
it's
thank
just
you.
That we've been with them for 9 years. We typically review things every 3 years for a lot of many, many reasons. We thought it was important to keep them on board. Mm-hmm. But 9 years now, it's time to read the review. And maybe that'll be the winner again.
Right.
Because we don't have any issue with them.
Right. Right. And doing RFPs and not just cranking along with the people that you work with all the time is something that you just have to do as a public body. And a lot of times, whether you want to or not, many times you don't want to do it. But we have to do it. E1 is ratification of our approval of an agreement having to do with mortgage on leasehold interest for lots 2E and 3E. It is a fairly arcane property matter, but obviously, if you, and we've looked at it carefully, but if anybody has any questions, Ron, did you want to explain anything on that? I think it is what it is.
Yeah, it's basically they're refinancing a mortgage, and the lease didn't really contemplate refinancing, and it has some language that makes it sound like they can't, that they need the consent, but like I said, this is just it's routine.
Yeah, and in conjunction with that, I executed a conflict waiver for Melissa because of Broad and Cassell's representation of Sunshine Community Lender. As far as I'm concerned, that was a completely routine kind of waiver. On the HVAC preventive maintenance contract, we have changed providers, and I think Ron has done a very good job of getting a substantial cost reduction for an annual savings of over $8,000.
Yeah. And Stephanie, one of her first tasks was to help bring that thing home. We've been working on it for a while.
Yes.
And as a result, it's a substantial savings.
Yeah, so that's always good news. Policy change to clarify our delegation of authority to the executive director. A lot of what we are continuing to try to do is to come back to procedures that make sense, that are fairly streamlined, which were in the past, the recent past, much more detailed than they would normally have been because of the unhappy history that had occurred here with a misappropriation of funds, et cetera. So I think we're all in very good shape.
There were also a number of things in the policy that just weren't defined well. So
yes.
It's very hard to apply the policy, so I cleaned up some of those things so it's very clear on what my authority is and isn't.
Right, and that's for Ron's protection and benefit as well as ours. You need to know what it is you're supposed to do and not do. Same thing on the credit card policy. It's really a clarification as much as anything else. On the general counsel contract, at the suggestion of one of the members of our executive committee, we are requesting ratification of a competitive procurement for legal services, probably because we are extremely happy with what Melissa has done for us. We feel like we are in the middle of some stuff where we would really be losing momentum, incurring extra costs if we were to change to a different provider, and it's just a one-year extension. So that's everything. And now the process is: does anybody want to move any of these to the real agenda for further discussion?
Madam Chair, move approval of the consent agenda as is.
Okay. We don't really have to do that. That's the other procedural thing, which is, sort of new to me. Apparently, once everybody says, I don't have any questions, then I can say it's deemed adopted. But if it's better to have it on the record, which I think would be,
okay.
I'm sure it's not the same every place.
Okay.
So we've got a motion in a second. So all in favor.
All right.
So we are done with the consent agenda. And Dustin, who thank goodness has agreed to take over
the chair.
Yes. Sorry.
We didn't do the approval of the draft meeting minutes.
Oops, let's do that.
Move the ball.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay. Thank you, Ron. Dustin has graciously consented to take over as the audit committee chair, which we very much appreciate that. It may not be the most fun, but it needs to be done.
I think
it's exciting. I'm sorry. That's like the anti-lawyer thing. Right? You've got to say the accountant thing, you've got to say the lawyer thing.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll make this brief. This is my third year on the board, and I think that we've consistently had clean audits basically every year that I've been here, which I know has not been the case. In a nutshell, staff and has been killing the game. We have no major issues from our audit, no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. There's no disagreements between management and auditors about, you know, sort of how we run our financial statements. No recommendations for improvements. There was one issue with essentially a report that we received or that we looked at where there was some language about potentially basically how we track our invoices versus contracts, not substituting contracts for our invoices. But that was from last year, and so the recommendation or the conversation was to remove that, obviously, for this year moving forward. And then we, the one thing I just wanted to mention before I hand over to Ron is, I know we just approved the RFP, but there was an interesting conversation that we had about adding women and minority-owned businesses, about preferential sort of scoring for that. I think that opens up an interesting conversation just about like what policy we have in general for when we issue RFPs and we're basically following through on purchasing. That potentially we can bring back just a sort of general policy maybe for the authority as a whole. But other than that, I would say stand up job by staff, and really excited that, you know, basically we had nothing really to talk about that was negative.
Great. Ron?
Just to add to that, in the purchasing policy that was on consent, we did add kind of a placeholder that says we will develop a policy related to that. So
awesome.
We're going to do it. We didn't have time, obviously, showing we were working on this other part of the policy, but we will definitely do that.
Yeah, and I think that's very much our benefit to come up with something that's consistent across what we do.
Chris, a comment on that. Thank you for stepping up, and I'm glad the policy was in there. We had a discussion in the executive committee. Of course, we're under sunshine, so it's the first opportunity to ask this question. They had mentioned that you said we didn't have as many certified minority and women businesses. Now that we have a consolidated office of city and county for this, I have always felt like, and I'm looking at you too, Keith, because you may know, that we had more certified contractors and others within the county office. So I think OEB, that new office, could help us identify some. Yeah. And I also appreciate the executive committee, the protected classes. Federally, it doesn't include LGBT. Locally, city and county, it does. So that was expanded to match city and county ordinance. So I think that was a good addition just to be consistent. So thanks for doing that. And I think there's some more we could dig in. The only other thing I was going to say is we, a county committee, which is now float over with OEB, so it's in the joint, looked at ways to build up the entrepreneurial programs with SBDC others for minority and women small businesses. So nice little tie with us, perhaps, mm-hmm. and we could just see how that develops. That's all I've got. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I was going to address the management discussion analysis just to give just some of the highlights off the audit financial statements. Nothing extensive. It's in the beginning of the audit and financial statements. You'll see this, particularly page 6 of 43 for attachment J1. You see that up there. This is something that I have to prepare every year that sort of summarizes the major things that are in the financials, so that it's very helpful when we go back, if you ever go back and look at the history, to go, oh, that's why those numbers changed the way they did. So the major things that happened during that fiscal year, one was the sale of the building to Dan Foss, and basically unwinding the relationship that we had with the city that held that building. So the proceeds that we received on that deal related to the unwinding of this sort of joint venture was $79,241. And you'll see that reflected throughout the financial statements. On the most significant change is that number. Everything else is fairly consistent. And where it's not, I note that below the individual components. So the other was we received that $20,000 grant from the Knight Foundation for the first session of the EEP program, finishing out what the EDC had been awarded. And then we also received another $4,000 from the EDC to help with the operating expenses, getting that thing moving forward. And then if you go down to the statement of net position, again, you can see the major change was in current assets was $69,000, and that's, again, mostly related to the Dan Foss deal. The non-current assets, you see that is predominantly depreciation. And then these other items, for those who are not on the audit committee, these are kind of nebulous, these deferred outflow of resources, inflow of resources, those all have to do with the GASB 68 requirements on pension plan reporting. To this day, I think any CPA would have a hard time explaining exactly what that means. The fact of the matter is it's really just trying to reflect what the authority's liability would be at that point in time, as if the thing dissolved, what we would have to, you know, put into the FRS plan to make it whole. That's my best layman's explanation. And then everything else you see is fairly consistent. And then in terms of our changes in that position, again, you can kind of see some of this. We did have some pluses and minuses in rents, and it netted out to the $32,000. We had a $40,000 increase in revenue due to the income from program grants and fees. We had a decrease in lease revenue of $63,000. Related to mostly in the Morgan building was $68,000, where we lost three FSU affiliated tenants. They were the Centers of Excellence and Institutes, Cal and Signs and Conflict Resolution. And most of that was related to them losing grant funding and consolidating in space in the Sliger building. And then we actually increased $41,000 in the Johnson building due to the National Park Service lease. The year before, it was a partial year where we had the new lease after the restructuring. Well, this was a full year, and that's why it's that much more. And then Collins, obviously, the decrease due to the loss of the termination of that lease. And then the total operating expenses decreased by $135,000. $100,000 of that was because in 2015, if you recall the prior year, we spent that on lot 1E to reacquire the rights to that lot. So those are the major changes. Are there any questions about the financial statements?
Madam Chair, I've served on an awful lot of boards. It's a little unusual to find where we have an audit that has just zero things that an auditor can even comment on or even suggest. So I'd like to compliment our staff. I'd like to compliment the folks over at Calcor and express our appreciation for a job well done. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. We are going to launch into item number 8, which my first order of business is to remind everyone that we are discussing Project Campus. That's all we're discussing, Project Campus.
We need a vote on the
audit. Ratification.
Sorry, yes.
I'll move that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Sorry. So that's a reminder as to how we need to talk about this. Obviously, this is a little bit clunky. We don't want to cut off any query, debate, whatever. I'm gonna turn it back over to Ron, who I believe has undertaken to previous to this.
Yeah, I'm going to read something here real quick just to make it clear to everyone that the specifics of the confidentiality issue. Excuse me, I should have eaten first. Pursuant to Section 288.075 of the Florida Statutes, we have executed a confidentiality agreement with the Project Campus Company. No information regarding the intentions or interests of the company to locate, relocate, or expand any of its business activities in the state may be disclosed. Regardless of whether or not the board approves the proposed documents today, the information and documents remain confidential until the earlier of March 10th of 2018, 180 days after the final project order for a signed economic development agreement, which has not been done yet to my knowledge, a date specified in that final project order, or if the information is otherwise disclosed. And my expectation is that if these documents are in fact, finally executed, they will be recorded, and at that point, it will be public information. So, but until that time, we will, and when that happens, we will advise the board of when the information becomes public, and you can not worry about the confidentiality.
Right, so, which is exactly how I would prefer that it be done. So until you hear something, it's confidential. And my suggestion, and there are a number of people on this board who have to deal with this all the time, either as financial people or attorneys or whatever, best practice, as far as I'm concerned, is to simply not talk to anybody about it. Not your spouse, not your child, not your whatever. It's just easy to just make a blank that you're not talking about it. It's like, sorry, I'll tell you what I'm doing after I've done it. Okay, so Ron Beck.
Yeah, and I would say that, again, don't use the company's name. You refer to it by as company or campus. Mm-hmm. To the extent possible, speak about the broader issues involved, and we will drill down as necessary from there. And then if you have any questions about the company's requests or negotiations or positions in this matter, please direct them to me. And then finally, we have two board members that are recusing themselves from voting prior to discussion. They cannot vote, but they can participate. And we'll start with Dave. And the requirement is that they read their
recusal,
and we'll go from there.
Project Campus is an economic development project being considered by the Board of Governors of Leon County Research and Development Authority, to which I am appointed. The details of the project are confidential pursuant to Section 288.075 of our statute. I'm retained by the company associated with the project and therefore recuse myself from voting on the matter before the board. This has also been read into the minutes of the executive meeting.
Thank you. Next.
On Project Campus is an economic development project being considered by the Board of Governors of Leon County Research and Development Authority, to which I am appointed. The details of the project are confidential pursuant to Section 288-075 for the statute. I am retained by the company associated with the project and therefore recuse myself from voting on the matter before the board.
Okay, thank you. Having done all of that, I want to also say that it is the function of the board to come to consensus and discuss this as needed. So please, taking this into account, it's perfectly okay to raise general issues, and we can and want to discuss them as needed. So I don't know if there's any other teeing up that needs to be done here. I'm going to try to do a little bit of this. This is, I think, a great opportunity for us. It has the potential effect of really guiding and affecting other things that we've talked about doing in the past. Some of it positively, perhaps some of it foreclosing opportunities that we might otherwise have had. But to my way of thinking, this is the classic potential bird in the hand. We don't have any other birds in the hand that I'm aware of. And so I'm pretty enthusiastic about this. Questions?
Yeah, and for the record, you have all been briefed in detail extensively.
Yeah.
I'll just make one additional comment. We had a robust conversation at executive. Appreciate that. And once again, Ron, thank you for leading this effort on our behalf in the negotiations. Just seeing the difference between the executive committee and the board and the briefings you gave everyone this week. Really appreciate your leadership on that. And for Project Campus, I think there's some evidence that the company is really wanting to be a strong partner for multiple reasons. And future projects and committing to some support there is really important for us. So I would concur with what you said, but just wanted to add that note, and thank you.
Okay. I also want to give a particular shout out to Melissa, who has spent quite a bit of time tiptoeing us through this process. It's very important to all of us that we not make a mistake, you know, and you can always make a mistake with this stuff, but I think we've gotten good practical advice, so I really appreciate that. Anybody else? Okay, well, that may be one of the shortest sessions of a substantive matter that we've had in a long time.
So we need a motion?
I guess we do.
We need a motion?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Record that I did not vote.
Yes. Yes.
And report the poll.
Yes.
Got it.
So there are 10 members present. So the vote was 8-0.
Glad you're all here to keep me on track. I do appreciate that.
Here for you.
Okay. So Kristen is going to update us on JumpStart and has. And fortunately, we have the time today to do this, so this is great. It has a couple other things she wants to. And I just want to say, since we're thanking people, I am so appreciative that you are still here. You know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're tied into all this other stuff where, if you weren't, I don't know how in the world we would keep up as well as we do. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I do appreciate that, but I will also say that I was at a meeting this morning and said I had a board meeting today, and they said, wow, you've been on that board a long time. And I said, yeah, but now's the fun stuff. This is the point, I say that all the time, but we've been working to for a long time, and it really feels like it's not just us, it's lots of different groups and, you know, work in the community and regionally that is moving us in the right direction. So. The last thing I'll mention is a new board that I picked up one more that is going to tie in with us a little bit more, I hope. So for JumpStart, we can dig into this as much as you all want, but I was just going to go through the highlights where we are right now. In Ron's report, you had a good little short summary list of what you've been working on, which overlaps a lot, so not stealing your thunder, but I assume that we tie that in with this. So the committee, which does include Dave and Eric, as well as other partners from FSU, FAMU, private sector, has, and Kim, you're on it as well? Our last meeting was in January. So at that point, if you all remember, we'd gotten through about 4 months of meetings and really taken a deep dive. We interviewed in person a group of entrepreneurs, then got a great response to a survey, really digging deep on what type of space they need, some other issues from a receptionist and a professional feel to really specifics on what they might need in a lab space or a maker space or something like that. We have talked about we talked about marketing and other things like that briefly, but there's some bigger issues that we need to dig in the future. But after January, there was a clear recognition, and you may remember this from the last board meeting, but we need to step back, let the architects do an assessment of the building before we came back to the board with a recommendation. We need to get some specifics on paper now. We've done a lot of that background. But as Ron notes in his report, the business plan, the financial model, it's really going to evolve from what space we have, what we can provide, what we can afford, and what we anticipate the revenues and program costs and those types of things. So we are drilling down to that right now. So for the June meeting, we're going to focus on a recommendation by that meeting. I anticipate there's still going to be some decisions for the board to make after that, but hopefully that'll get us in the position where we can start moving forward. My thought right now, I'll speak for myself, but we have discussed this in the committee, is that we may want to approach it as phase construction because the demand is high, particularly for the lab space. But we'll dig into all of that in June. So I think we'll have a more robust conversation. I think fitting this into our goals, our strategic plan, is good for everyone to kind of think about right now. Again, this is the fun stuff. This is when we start building those facilities that are missing in our, as we say, entrepreneurial ecosystem in the community. We need them here. We've been talking about it for years. Right, Kim? Yes. And you're going to get to cast another vote, hopefully, to move it forward and, to actually build it. So this is really exciting. Oh, I'm sorry. We also had a presentation, I think it was in January, from Domi on programming support and kind of their... all of the different programs they offer, and whether or not we could work with them or someone else, shared equipment with FSU and FAMU, things like that. It's all in progress. Ron and I met with the architects. I want to say for the record, Mary Jo Spector from FSU has resigned from the committee. She still has incredible expertise. She's still helping and working with us, but she and I are not under sunshine any longer. She will not be voting on any of these issues. So it gives us a little more flexibility. And she was very helpful. Thank you, Eric and everyone. In the first few months, but she really knows how to build and design these labs. She's worked with the architect, if y'all remember. This is part of the county's continuing contract. So it's Lewis and Whitlock who designed Domi. They really know these types of spaces that work for entrepreneurs. But they also asked us a lot of great questions because they haven't done the more high-tech space. So we have had a meeting with them. They gave us a good overview. I think they inspired a lot of questions and thought on Ron and I's part. They had done a building assessment. Those details will be brought back to you. For just one example, we assumed that most things in the Bing space we could probably continue to use. The hoods over the different benches, we probably need to update those at some point. So they're already getting some specifics for us that will inform our decisions going forward. But they are going to visit the UCF incubator, which Ron has also visited, and I hope to do that in June, although it might be after our board meeting. So they're doing their work right now. We haven't yet gotten a list of questions from them, but we anticipate that soon. Is that right? Okay. The piece about funding, Project Campus, I referenced this earlier, but some good conversations there. I think there are other, I guess I would like to say this now, but when we get more specifics, we need to really focus on this. If you have thoughts about other companies, either in town or statewide or others, that invest in these types of spaces, I've talked to a handful, but now's the time to start thinking about that. I think corporate donations, other sponsors, people who want to get involved, I assume we're going to move forward with something. The board's been moving in this direction, so I just wanted to put that out there now for food for thought. But the Economic Development Administration, so long as they keep their funding over the next couple of years, which I believe they will, I hope, we have a Florida rep who we met with, Ron and I. You've heard that before. He is now called Ron. He's toured the park. We've got a great opportunity to apply for a grant.
Through FSU grad.
FSU grad, absolutely. He knows the area. He's really, he has stayed on top of this,
yes,
right?
He's calling me, which is a good sign.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's out of Atlanta, right?
He's actually based in, I think he works out of Florida, but he's in the Atlanta office,
right.
Technically.
He's attached to this region's office, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just phenomenal that we now have someone who's really advocating on our behalf and reaching out to us. Just a little side note on that. I've told you all in the past that... the America's Competitiveness Exchange, this big trip I went on a couple years ago with the EDA. We built a team, county led it, with Gainesville, Orange County, St. Augustine, Space Coast, and Florida International to make a bid to host the ACE Tour. We hope for good news very soon, so keep an eye out for that. They would spend there was 48 participants from 28 different countries, and this has direct economic development impact in the communities that have hosted these tours in the past. If we get this, then they will be spending close to 24 hours in Tallahassee and a good amount of time at the park. And a lot of our assets, Dan Foss, others are on the potential list. So we would be moving forward with that if we get it. But that connection with EDA top leadership is really good timing for moving forward with anything else. So just wanted to tie those two pieces together. So the last thing there on this part, and then I'll pause, is what might the recommendation include in June? Really what we can offer, what the space can accommodate. There's some other partnerships, discussion with FAMU, others. These things will hopefully come together.
Are we looking at the structure too? Things that might have to be changed to meet current codes. If you go in and remodel, then you're going to open up yourself to ADA and all the other things that have changed over the years.
This is exactly what the architects, they've already done, I think they did the full mechanical, electrical, plumbing assessment along with the structural assessment. So they had some comments for us. That's where they identified the fume hoods would need to be updated because they don't meet current code, for example. So they did that, and now they're looking at kind of our potential wants and desires. I was eavesdropping on your conversation before about this being a very intimate boardroom. And yes, you don't have to move things, but you know, included in this might be a large meeting space where the board can meet or others. So yes, they've done that.
But
part.
But we can store stuff over here.
But we can exactly. It would be our building. You would have to move stuff back and forth. But they're looking at, now that they've done that assessment, modular, I mean, like, how do we make this space as flexible as possible? Being able to move electric, but it's also pretty complicated. Everybody needs to separate the air handling. You know, you can't mix up the lab with the makerspace with something else. So this is complicated. But yes, Kim, they already started on that.
That building to me looks like it's perfectly placed to add on to the back of it.
In where the front?
Yes.
Front. But it'd be a lot easier to do on the back. You got a huge space back. All the park and everything. And to me, that should be a consideration of any remodeling, the anticipation of extension of infrastructure into an addition.
Yeah,
to the
that's
back
a good
out.
Point.
Yes.
For example, one thing that's come up is like a dock.
Yeah.
A dock space or some loading area.
Mm-hmm. So. Which we don't have at this point.
Right.
And I think they told us the ceiling height is decent in the middle of the building, but then it kind of slopes down to the exterior walls. So there's some other issues. It may be that this recommendation says we can do 70% of what we've discussed, but not everything, because we can't have, this is not enough square footage, or some challenge like roof height. We don't know yet. That's exactly what we hope to have in June.
But you're right. I mean, expansion, future expansion is definitely something we have to keep in mind now.
Yes.
So we design it appropriately. But given the way we're designing flexibility into it, we're trying to stay with fixed walls, particularly on the manufacturing end, I think, which will make it more flexible for expansion as well. So.
Mm-hmm. To pick up on something that Kristen said, since we're having this is a good time to have a little bit of pie in the sky discussion. In terms of reaching out to other people, because we really do think that this is going to happen. I had an interesting conversation with a property owner about the potential for residential stuff in this area that would in some way connect to Jumpstart. Probably just in, because this is somebody who wouldn't really want to be a landlord just to students, to undergraduates, but would be interested in being a cool landlord to people who are older and are working in this kind of environment, and perhaps giving them a break on rent because of. So if this really happens, having that kind of support, you know, the residential, all the stuff we've talked about, a place to eat, a place to whatever. So as you're talking to folks out there, keep that in mind.
Do we have cost estimates in June?
I our hope is to have as much about the budget and cost estimates, certainly from the construction, and I think we'll be able to get some of that. It will not be at the point at which we have design documents and going out to a contractor to get a specific budget, right? But I think the estimates need to be there.
Let me just, because that was my next question. What's our schedule for going forward? forward. So June.
My sense, and Ron, jump in here, is that we're going to have as much as we possibly can in June to frame how the business plan and the finances will work. Now, in those finance, that financial picture, there'll be lease revenue, but there's also programming, things like that. I think we're going to have to identify the potential for, say, an EDA grant. There may be some gaps. We still may be prepared to move forward if the board agrees that we're going to seek to fill those gaps through grants and other things. So I think that's what I kind of meant about other decisions. But we hope we have enough of a picture that gives us some comfort that we can do this and how we're going to do it.
So we think that in June at our meeting, we will be talking about, we'll be looking at an architect's report, mm-hmm. and looking at a cost estimate. And
then my hope is to have the business model drafted by then, as well as the financial component. And as part of that, we would also have a schedule moving forward on how we would execute the plan.
Yeah.
Do we have any word in the schedule now as to when we might expect the first lab experiment to take place?
It depends.
Yeah. In my mind, I think that right now that may depend on a couple of different things. I mean, it could depend on a lot of different things, let me say that. But two big things. One, what we find out from the architects. I'll put three. How much we want to commit up front, how much the authority is willing to invest of our own money versus going out and fundraising. So if we commit a certain amount and that allows us to cover, say, phase one of construction, which I think Ron and I talked about this a good bit, would probably be the labs and the meeting room or something like that. There's a good break point in the building, as we know. We might be able to start on that pretty quick. And then it could be a year at that point, or a little less, or something. It depends on how much we have to do in that space.
So 2018.
I think it will be 2018 for sure before the facility is open. But the demand for the lab space right now, we met with some companies last Friday. There's demand that exists for all the space right now, but particularly that space, and companies that could pay a lease rate, they're kind of moving into second stage probably. So that's my gut on it, that probably is where we need to drive first to open a portion of it as quickly as possible.
And second question, excuse me.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Where are we on the 501c, whatever the number is behind it, establishing that?
Melissa mostly has been researching this. We've been talking about it. I don't know if you want to go into the particulars. Catch you off guard here.
A little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
We discussed initial formation and decided that the sense of urgency maybe was a little bit less than what we'd initially thought, because we believe that the entity LCRDA itself is in a position to accept tax-free donations from people without the necessity of having the 501c3 created. I don't think we're abandoning the plan. We just what the other projects we had going on sort of tiered that as a lower priority.
I think that the big question is going to be, I'm taking a shot here at how to explain this, but basically contributions to a government entity that's for a public purpose is treated as if it was a charitable contribution for tax purposes. The only question I think that we really need to answer, well, two questions. One is this our public purpose? And I think the answer is yes. And the second is, are there situations where organizations can only contribute to a 501c3, or corporations or foundations or others, and if that is a requirement, it may be necessary to have a 501c3 to capture some of those. So that's kind of the last question.
Right. I mean, we've tiered the questions so that we know that if somebody came to us tomorrow and said, well, I'd like to dump all this money on you, it sounds like we could probably take it.
That's right. And then the sense of urgency has gone to create the 501c3 just for the purposes of not turning away money. And then we can do it in a thoughtful manner, because there is quite a bit that goes into structuring the governance of the 501c3,
yeah.
How that entity interacts with LCRDA, and it has to be done very carefully to ensure that you're not destroying the purpose that it's, you know, that it's created for.
And that's part of what I was able to do is go out and I talked with a couple of different incubators and got their actual applications that they filed. And it is an extensive process to go through. And I also got the questions that they got back from the IRS after they filed their application, and that was extensive. So they eventually got their...
Was it a college or university? It filed for a 501c3?
No, it was except they were a nonprofit set up specifically to run the incubator.
Mm-hmm. But then they had filed separately for a 501c3?
Right? Yes, filed separately for a 501c3, which is what we would have to do as well. No, it's 501c3 for their nonprofit that's running the incubator.
Oh, okay.
But they are not affiliated, they're not directly affiliated with the university. But they are loosely connected to that university.
I don't want to take that off the burner, though. Mm-hmm. I have to leave it on the front burner. There are going to be cases in which we would miss out without that tool.
I think so,
too. So my encouragement is just to continue to develop that.
Yeah, and that's the question is, what structure when we do that, what structure would we have to put in place to make sure that those funds remain deductible charitable contributions?
Or could we partner with a foundation, like an SSU foundation to pass it through?
I think that may be possible, but actually, and I don't want to speak for FSU, but Sustainable Tallahassee had a relationship with TCC early on when we were waiting for 501c3 status, which was back in 08 or so. The requirements on public universities and colleges were extensive for a real small scale 501c3. If we wanted to pursue that, I would say we should talk to the community foundation. There may be a way to set up some kind of, I don't know exactly the structure, but I think others do that, to set up kind of an account with them where people could donate and then it could be donated back. I had not thought about that before, but that may be something you want to explore.
Yeah, and the thing I did learn is the challenge with the actual 501c3 is versus having LCRDA. LCRDA is, their focus is on the public purpose. In the 501c3, it's more narrow definition of what you can do with those contributions. And what the other incubator found is they really was a stretch in certain places to try to get that accepted. And in another example the Treasure Coast Research Park, they set up an incubator, and their 501c3 is strictly for education programs that they put on, but it's not used for the general operating of the incubator. So we got this kind of mix and match of things going on, but I think being able to take it into LCRDA gives us the broadest ability to use those funds for the incubator. That's just my interpretation. Those are some of the weeds we've got to get into.
Yeah, that's.
But also leaves control of that completely in the hands of LCRDA.
There may be administrative fees too when somebody else is working between us and the money.
For community or something like that.
Yeah. And you also have the added cost of managing and reporting for a 501c3 and all the stuff that goes along with that in time.
Well, it certainly sounds like we need to detail this out pretty thoroughly before we leap into putting another process requirement.
We moved down the road a little bit.
I have one other thing. Anybody else on that subject, the 501c3?
Just on that subject, as you're continuing to ask questions, I'm wondering how people, parks, others, who chose not to have a 501c3 may market that to private companies. That may just be something interesting. That how do we explain to private companies that the authority can be taxed? I mean, people don't have their mind wrapped around that necessarily. Something that they could say, if it's a board of directors with a policy that they can only give to a 501, what could they take back to them to say, in this one case, let's do something else? It may be something good to look at.
In the case of the Community Foundation, with the NIDE grant that was passed through to us, I believe their requirement was that it had to go to a 501c3, but they made an exception in our case.
Yeah.
So, so I think it can be done. It's just
well, and you know, the ultimate solution is to do something to our statute, which might not be that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would certainly be more straightforward, but. I think we have to look at the whole array of options before we jump into
it. And it's a lot more complex than what I had before.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I have a question as well. With regard to our EDA federal rep, this person that we've had a fair amount of contact with, have you talked with him about Jumpstart and what we're trying to do? Is there any prospect that some sort of funds could be That we could get in train for that before we even know exactly?
Well, no, we need the cost information in order and the basic model to provide that in an application. That's the conversation that we've had. I told him we're working on that. The good news is that these grants are done on a rolling basis. There's no particular deadline.
Yep, that's good.
The biggest challenge he has is the year end coming up. And
do we have the application? Have we looked at what the application looks like?
We've done one before, so I have a general idea what's all about. But
well, it would be great to put the application with when we're doing all of the work and estimates.
Oh, absolutely.
So that then it goes, you know,
yeah.
We just click it together and send it off, hopefully.
What's the turnaround time on review?
I don't recall off the top of my head. It's quick.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick. And they've changed that from what they had done in the past. They were on a more fixed schedule, but they just, as a matter of fact, I think that's the thing. They're looking for projects. They want projects. So,
well, if we had the opportunity to jumpstart Mr. EDA, you know, we would.
But we have to have this other information.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But we're close to having that.
Yeah.
And to your point, Ann, anything we can do, I mean, we will do our best to get all the information you all need to make a decision in June. Again, I don't think it's going to be 100%. I mean, it's not design documents, something else like that. But, I mean, design, yes, but not construction documents. If we can make a decision at that point, and if we have enough information to apply, my gut on this, at the federal level, the president's budget zeroed out Economic Development Administration, as he did CDBG grants and other things like that. But particularly rural counties across the country depend on CDBG and EDA grants. And I've talked to a number of other particular county commissioners who feel like there's a buffer there, even in the House. So I'm hopeful that the funding won't be stripped. But if we can get an application in before the end of the fiscal year, I think that's in our interest. We don't know what the future is like. There might be another continuing resolution after the end of April, but I mean, I think it really is in our interest, and with all of this attention on Leon County and the region right now, the BP oil spill money, the Triumph EDA gave a grant to West Florida to look at regional economic development. Something else I'm going to say in a little bit is related to a report regionally for our nine counties that the EDA requires to back up these grants. The timing is really good. Yeah.
And my, you know, lawyer brain says if we could, even if we put in an application that we know is not like the best thing that ever happened, if you precede the deadline, if there's some kind of cutoff that then occurs, you've got your document in there. And, anyway.
Well, there's actually, that's part of the process. That's what this, Greg Bidet is his name, that's what Greg does. He looks at the application, and before it actually gets submitted, he comes back to us and says, here's what you're missing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's not really submitted until it gets past him. He is very well aware of what we're doing. That was part of what we did. We brought him out here the first time. He was meeting with several folks in the community, but we took him over and showed him the facility. He got very interested then. He hadn't been here since he graduated in, I think, 93. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't know much about what was going on here, and he was very impressed. And then he came back and toured the Mag Lab and AME facility and was, you know, really amazed at what's going on. And so he gets it, and he'll be able to help communicate that to those that evaluate the grant, that there's more here than just this incubator. and there's more to what we're doing. So that's part of the process that we've been going through, is trying to get him educated, because he's our advocate, and he'll help make sure that this thing gets through.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can invite him to a board meeting if mm-hmm. he would like to do that. We can, you know, if he's looking for excuses to come down here and help us fill out this application so that he can approve it.
Well, he can't fill it out, but we...
No, I'm
but help us work
that,
through it and such, yeah. Yeah,
make sure we've got what he needs.
We have established a good relationship.
Yeah.
And I can pick up the phone and call him, and we can get that done.
I've found too many times in these federal agencies of people get moved here there, and while we've got him in that spot, we need to leave.
I hear what you're all saying. Get it done.
Yes.
And you know, if this, some of these projects didn't just come along out of the blue, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, it is.
Well, you were looking for something to do, weren't you?
Right.
Now we'll get it going again.
And the very idea that we might have money from some source to get us to the next step, you know, of actually building this thing is phenomenal.
And you know, you go to the next point, or the next step in this. We asked Greg, applying for this grant does not preclude us from applying for another grant in the future for other facilities or other things like that.
Right.
They have granted money to Wakulla Institute. I think that's the only organization that has received, through TCC, a grant from the EDA in recent years. They very much want to invest in this way, and they are more efficient than any other federal department I've had the pleasure of dealing with. So,
and I'm sure they're looking for successes that they can then, you know, show up the line.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, that's very exciting.
So, any other questions on kind of where we are with Jumpstart from anybody else right now, or suggestions, or anything else? Okay. This grant, as well as Jumpstart, would require a lot of partnerships, for sure. So, FAMU, FSU, others, I mean, everything we're already building in private sector is going to be really helpful for that. One little note, transitioning from, and I can run through the next two parts relatively quickly, Madam Chair, if, and, you know, unless we have a lot of discussion on it, but transitioning from that to the discussion about the road construction and those types of things that we've talked about in the past, we do have a lot of good things happening with land use now, and still trying to fill, I know Ron will get into this more, our vacant space with Project Campus, with some other things. I just wonder if sometime this summer or August, September, we need to do a deeper dive into kind of future visioning about the property and other things like that. We got a lot of opportunities, but just like this, they may come at us fast and heavy, and we're still, we've got 2.5 wonderful, wonderful staff members, but you're busy, yes. And then, good busy, but I wanted to toss that out.
Count me in for that. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that I'm most concerned about, and I will meet with anybody, I will, whatever, to talk about it.
I was thinking as board or as an ad hoc group, just to get together, brainstorm, something like that. We may want to pull together all these ideas and kind of think about where we are in the future, but I'm not saying anytime soon, it just, I can see a lot of those questions coming. Right?
Well, do you think that late August, early September is soon enough to do? What do you think?
I think there's a lot on Ron's plate to get through Jumpstart and some other things.
There's some other things on the table right now that if any of these things happen, it's going to be a challenge to do.
Well, let me put it this way then. I'm not sure that what I'm envisioning would take any of Ron's time if we're talking about having just a meeting to talk and look at a map. And I mean, I know it all flows to you at some point, but to take advantage of what we've got around the table here doesn't necessarily have to
that. If we just want to take pressure off our staff and not have an agenda or anything like that, any board members who could come, or we could do bring everybody in just to, no other agenda, but just brainstorm and talk about the property. I mean, Ron, you think we could handle that? Your choice.
I think that's a great idea.
When do you want to do it?
I will be out of the country until almost the end of August. So, end of August or beginning of September.
So, you won't be here for the August board meeting?
I will, I think, still be here for the August board meeting. I'm trying to.
Do you want to make that a topic for the August board meeting?
I wasn't envisioning this being part of a board meeting. It could be. It could be. But it seems like we usually have very full agendas, and I don't know that maybe we will, maybe we won't. I mean, we can say shoot for the August board meeting, and if not, maybe have an ad hoc workshop type meeting.
Special meeting, workshop,
clear whiskey.
Yeah, we've been doing a deep dive into a lot of other things, but we were kind of on that presentation, you know, using some board meeting time for that for a little while. We haven't had time to do that necessarily,
yeah.
But
yeah.
We'll have elections and budget at that time, some other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's a great idea. Yeah.
Is that okay as a way to approach it?
Yeah.
All right. So then transitioning, and I'll wrap this up. So. You've heard a lot of discussion about, and I appreciate you bringing this up, and Ann and Ron both doing briefings with, I think, almost all
of them. All of them.
You got all of them. Well done. All of the county and city commissioners. That was just fantastic. So I think you all did a great job. That was a lot of meetings, a lot of organization.
Did you hear any feedback from any of your...
I wouldn't necessarily.
Plenty of people said, Kristen takes care of that.
Yes, yeah.
There's plenty of that.
Yeah, I've heard that feedback from Ron and Ann, but yeah, because I think we may hear more feedback if it comes up on an agenda at County Center or Blueprint, but I just have heard that they got good feedback.
Yeah. And that was our message, I think, primarily was, you know, when you're in meetings, whether it's a commission meeting or IA meeting, you know, and something comes up, ask a question. What about Innovation Park?
Yeah.
You know, that was the whole message.
And that's not a bad segue to a public meeting recently, Blueprint, where we heard from FSU. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut that off.
No?
But good, yeah. A presentation update on their ideas for road construction around and through, or around Innovation Park. Maybe this plan was a little more specific coming into Alumni Village. And I will say, with all love and respect for my alma mater, the presenters did not mention Innovation Park as a partner at all. And it stood out to me.
Who did the presentation? We're going to get them.
Yeah, Will Butler and Kevin Graham. So
we also
we'd already got them.
Right. And I do not think, to their credit, I do not think it's because they don't think of us as a partner. But it's just not top of their mind in presenting, and that's part of what your briefings really, I think, may help, is that we've been kind of quiet and, you know, working with others in the past, and now we're going to be leading in a different way. So I think,
When was the presentation?
It was the end of February. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they were the first people we talked to, so maybe it was too far in the past. So.
Well, I was the first person they briefed to about those things. So, I think we're there to have the conversation, but I think we have to. In Providence Neighborhood, Denise and I had a great meeting, and a lot of that stuff you'll cover in your report. But we talked about Providence Neighborhood for a couple of different, you know, partnership opportunities, including discussion about the roads. I have talked to, in the past month and a half, two of the people in the leadership on the neighborhood association, and happened to get back to the office, and one of them had called to say, who do I talk to about this? So we pass that on to Denise and Ron, and so we'll have contacts with them as well. But I think there's a lot more discussion. So what has happened just in the last couple of months, brief update, is at the Blueprint meeting, there was a discussion about ranking the 2020 infrastructure projects. I'll say for my part, it's public record, there were some assumptions made that we had already ranked certain projects based on past discussions. I didn't think that was quite the case, but we endorsed what the staff presented at that time. Orange Avenue is ranked rather high, a few other things, but there is still time to tweak that specific list and the specific ranking. It does match what CRTPA, the Four County Transportation Board, has on their list now, which is...
So they've moved Orange Avenue up on their list? Because to me, that was the problem with us putting it in the sales tax committee, was that it wasn't ranked by... No, it wasn't ranked by DOT, not by...
It is within the five-year plan. So when you look at the CRTPA list, there are numbers by the projects, but... That is not a, you know, 1 through 15 ranking. It is anything in that five-year plan, if money becomes available, DOT could see as our top priorities for the next 5 years. So Orange Avenue is within that list. So that is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
There is a study initiated already. We were going to study Orange Avenue from, I think it was Monroe or Adams, down through Spring Hill. DOT asked that we continue that study out to Capitol Circle, and that was good. They wanted to put more money to it and everything else. So this is good indication that they really wanted to work with us on this. It dovetails with FSU's plans. So that the blueprints and CRTPA are working on these things in tandem. I think, Dustin, you may remember, but Orange Avenue was next fall. The study may be coming back next fall. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think yeah. so.
So we got time, but the Orange Avenue study is critical, and then the FAMU way is the other piece that I think those two things. I'm sorry, Anna.
Go ahead. I just have a question I want to ask you.
I think perhaps if you haven't been already, Ron, I would suggest, Anne, that reaching out to Blueprint Infrastructure staff, who's Charles Hargrave, and Greg Slay, our 10-month executive director at CRTPA, which is, he's doing a fabulous job, talking to them about the specifics. Now that they know from my briefing, from others, you know, that FSU, that
yeah,
all these things are happening.
Yeah, I've talked to Charles Hargrave once.
Okay.
So that's good. What's the other person's name?
Greg Slay. At CRTPA. Or just having phone calls and keeping up with them and keeping, you know, constant communication, I think, would be good.
Yeah. So my question is, and this may be impossible to say, but having listened to what FSU said, mm-hmm. what did they say? Just in the broadest, you know.
I just want to say, I think like maybe also one of the reasons why they didn't go into depth about partnerships is because I think specifically what Kevin wanted to do was make sure that the board didn't feel like too many conversations had taken place without
that's
them actually coming to it. So
yeah.
At least in my briefing, that's where I got the impression of that.
Yeah.
This is very, very in its infancy.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it was like...
They've been very
slight.
Gingerly about the whole thing, not wanting to... offend anybody, but
or stir the pot too soon.
Right.
Well, while I agree with that, and that's interesting for me to hear, I mean, we never know what's in other briefings. My conversations with them, again, early on back in October, when I mean, it was the plan wasn't even as fleshed out as what I'll describe in a moment. My sense is that if they didn't acknowledge that they would engage Providence, the partners, early on, that may be an issue because they could run far out on a plan. So that's a delicate balance. They don't want to run too far ahead of CRTPA or Blueprints or others, but I don't think they want to run too far ahead of the partners that they're going to be cutting through the property, and you know, and we have a partnership with FSU. So I didn't mean to say that they necessarily should have put too much meat on that bone. I respect the process, but it is time to expand those conversations, in my opinion. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think it's sort of internal politics versus external, right? Because eventually, like, there's probably going to be a financial ask tied to that project. And so I think absolutely those other partners need to come to the table. But I think in that particular context and that setting, that's why they were so, like, high level, didn't talk about partnerships, didn't talk about when they're going to be engaging those groups. So,
and I will say, when I remember this clearly in our initial meeting with them, they spoke specifically to neighborhood concerns, mm-hmm. realizing there would be neighborhood concerns, et cetera. So yeah. They're talking the right talk, at least.
They are talking the right talk. I think, not to belabor the point, but not mentioning the neighborhood concerns in the public meeting is what concerned the neighborhood.
Yeah, well,
there's kind of a catch 22 here, right?
Concerned us
exactly. Yeah. There's a catch. That's my only point here is at least mentioning that they will in the future could help. So, but I agree they are wanting to do it. So yes, we are at that break point. So the presentation itself in October, it was kind of much more vague. I think the goals, and Eric, jump in any time here if I get any of this wrong, mm-hmm. but I personally support the goals that bringing South Lake Bradford, FSU owns a tremendous amount of property on South Lake Bradford, into or kind of extending Orange Avenue or something like that in South Lake Bradford around the park to open this space up. So when you're coming from the airport, when you're driving to campus, you're not just going up Orange Avenue and down Lake Bradford as it currently exists. I mean, the north end, which is not really north, but down by the stadium. But that you come past the Mag Lab, that you see some of the assets we have here. I remember Steve Evans' comment years ago that people fly in, they're driven to FSU, they're driven back to the airport, and that's done. No one's stopping them in the middle. That's changed, but you know that's. I like those goals.
Yeah.
They have lots of different assets, golf course, alumni, others that they've got to think about, and property along Roberts. And I do think the FAMU Way extension in Stuckey is a nice tie-in there. So that, did I leave anything out, Eric? I mean, that's the basics I remember.
Yeah, I'm not completely familiar with their plans, but they need, now's the time where they need to start doing some things to project forward how they're going to use a lot of this. You have to be right, there's a lot of space, a lot of valuable real estate there, and it needs to be utilized.
And I think I did check back with Kevin Graham after we had our talk with them, and I think one of the points that we have to stay on is that when they're redoing internal circulation, we have to make sure we're in the mix, you know, that we are adequately connected, that you just don't find yourself in a maze out here and not have any idea where you're going. So it is both external to us and much more internal also.
I agree on that end, and I would add to that that our MOU with FAMU and FSU has changed the dynamics of the relationship between the park and the university dramatically. I mean, most of you all, I mean, none of us were on the board when it was really bad.
I might
bad
read that MOU.
In past years.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
I don't know that
this was
read
the property split. And it contemplated a lot of other partnerships. That's how we co-funded the Florida Trend ad. I mean, it's not just about property, right? So if we all, FAMU, FSU, want to have a very robust research park campus, there's some logistics. We don't want traffic to get backed up, but I think we're all interested in meeting those goals together. So, yeah. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. Last little bit, I know this has been going on for a while, so I had a big update. I was appointed to the Appalachia Regional Planning Council. Nine county board planning councils were established way back when, mostly did developments of regional impact, were connected with Department of Community Affairs of the state, which ended a number of years ago. And Governor Scott has cut the budget, zeroed out planning councils, going back to 2011 or 2012. Like a lot of organizations, I will say there's a lot of things that I see similar to LCREA. Kind of a, you know, not good financial management, a lot of other issues up until 3 years ago. New executive director, entirely new board. They had $100,000 in debt at that time. They're in the black now. And they get commissioners from nine counties to drive to Tallahassee every other month to meet on this board. It is incredible what they're doing. They run disaster preparedness and other grants. They do fuel tank inspections. They have EDA grants, federal grants, but also state grants through DEP and others. They, for example, will contract with Wakulla County to work on flood insurance issues, reducing the rates, because they don't have that capacity within their growth management department. So it's capacity building. Most of the time, that piece of it means planning counselors are working with rural counties, particularly in an area like ours. Leon just hasn't been as engaged, or vice versa. We haven't seen the need, but our dues are higher than it's based on population, so Leon actually supports the planning agency a good bit. So I was appointed 2 months ago. I happen to also be appointed to the Florida Planning Council Association. So I am on the state board of all the associations and the local. So two board meetings, the three things that overlapped with us. One, they have right now $570,000 that they can grant to small businesses. Leon was included finally in the territory which they could provide these grants. These are businesses that cannot get bank loans. It is for, there was business that we interviewed the other day, Gaston County, a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Harris, they opened a child care center, new business. They could not qualify for a loan. They got $25,000 loan from ARPC. It was EDA money. And their business is so robust now, they're taking over another location. They're offering more child care facilities in Gaston, because of this. So it is now available in Leon. We haven't promoted this much, but it's something that we can think about. But they're really big. They also do the CEDS, Comprehensive Economic Development Survey. I think that's the regional economic development report they have to do for the Economic Development Administration. Full disclosure, Paul and I talked about this. It is not a sunshine issue for us, but we will never vote on it. But there is an opportunity, if anyone has a name, for a business person with a understanding of regional manufacturing, supply chain, other things, to sit on this review committee for the next 6 months. It is only three meetings. So if anybody has an interest or a name, wants to do this, we can step up this report unlike it's ever happened. And this report has direct impact on our ability to get grants at Innovation Park and others.
Explain to me a little bit more about this person that they're looking for would do what?
There's a nine counties can appoint two people apiece to review on a committee for a 6 month time frame, so it's pretty short, to review the draft of the CEDS report. And it contemplates, and I can send a copy out, it's pretty wonky and everything, but it shows the regional economic development picture that we have to submit to the Economic Development Administration. If we don't have that report, we don't get grants, basically. So. And there's a new hire from DEO that's coming on to take over this report right now. So this is a good opportunity, but this is timing.
But yeah. The idea is that this person would know something about manufacturing.
My thought is manufacturing, supply chain, regional economic development, they want a business person.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be someone who works in that business. Yeah. It could be someone who just kind of understands regional, issues. So. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But this is a big thing right now. And they want a business person. So then we also heard a presentation on the foreign trade zone designation that the city is working on. I put the consultant who gave this presentation in touch with Ron. He would love to do
it. Okay.
Well, it's the airport plus Kim. And I could go on about this, Anne, if you would like, or I can suggest that we get that's why I stopped myself. Or I could suggest that we get a report for the board, because I just learned about this. But the consultant is willing. He wants to do a tour out here. He is willing to provide information.
And this is called a foreign trade zone.
This is the nutshell that I learned, and I didn't know this. With the designation at the airport as international for freight. If you are designated through customs with a foreign trade zone, it extends 60 miles out of the airport. At this point, you could go from L.A. If we get this, and there's a few others.
Well, L.A. being lower Alabama?
You know, California. You could cross through trade zones the entire way. Just west of us, there's another one.
Yeah.
So Danfoss brings in parts from Europe. And if those parts are assembled within the 60 miles and Danfoss facility is certified within that trade zone, they don't have to pay the taxes, duties, other things on those parts until they ship the final product outside of the trade zone.
This is very complicated.
Very complicated, but this is also this is for attracting other businesses to the park, to other places.
It's also really cool.
This is big.
It is. It's really cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, but, to me sounds like, yes, could we please have some kind of a report, you know?
I'll get that for you.
And sitting on the Regional Planning Council sounds like a very wonderful thing. I thought once developments of regional impact kind of went away, that the regional planning councils were not worth paying attention to. That's obviously not the case, particularly for an area like this.
So it Go ahead.
Yeah, we need to be in there on that. We fit the mold.
The number that I've heard that we're losing in road construction money from DOT as a result of a poor performance of that little group is $40 million a year. And I don't know whether it's that big or not.
You want to go be on their little committee?
Their I can't keep my calendar open enough to do it now, but I would otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'd be the likely.
Kim Williams type.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Slay is helping turn that around at CRTPA. We have a better relationship with FDOT, but ARPC is also working with FDOT and helping the rural counties position themselves better for funding, which helps us regionally. So I will, forgive me, that's why I mentioned it to you, that I had a little bit more today, but
this
time.
This is all very important.
I thought this was a good update.
A lot to keep up with, but thank you.
But it's exciting.
Keep up with it.
Good?
Yes.
Any questions or any other information y'all want me to bring back or send to Ron?
And it's worth pointing out, if anybody figures out they're interested, you can call Kristen and talk to her about this.
Yeah, the sales
I don't think there's any, there's no constraints. So,
thank you for that
clarification.
Yeah, I bet Steve's docket is a bit full too, but any names. If you got someone you want me to reach out to and talk to, anybody. This is happening right now.
All right, I have an idea.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Lots going on. Good?
Yeah.
Thank you all.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. Oh, me.
Yes, now you.
So this is going to be real, real brief. This is addressed mostly or very much to our newer members, Kim, Paul. When you took this on, you had to swear your blood oath that you'd be willing to be an officer at some point. We're not there yet, but it is time to start thinking about what happens next. And I think Ron will probably be talking with each of you at some point. So please be thinking about what you might be able to do and, commit to doing, et cetera. And that's really all I have.
Yeah, election of officers is at the August meeting.
So we August
have to
think
together. We're trying to work on how we can make this rotation happen on kind of a regular basis, a scheduled basis for those six private sector members, so that we don't end up in a lurch where somebody has to serve 3 or 2 years. We'd really like to just to be an annual, but what seems to work best is that you rotate from vice chair to past chair, and then just keep that rotation going. That way we keep fresh folks in, and it's not.
And keep our institutional memory.
Yes.
We want to do both of those things. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Ron?
Actually, we put Denise first.
Okay. Just some highlights for me. My whole the whole report is on attachment 11. But for the tech grant program, the venue is booked. It's at Goodwood Museum. We have a professional AV company helping out this year with the audio to make sure everything goes smoothly. The food has been ordered from Soiree Catering, so they'll be taking care of the event. We have five judges that have already been picked. They're in the process of vetting out the 10 applicants that we have, and we will hear back next week and be able to announce the finalists next Wednesday. And we have five PR firms who have agreed to be coaches. On to the next thing that I kind of want to talk about is since we added the Entrepreneurial Excellence Program to our list of programs, we have combined the EEP alumni and Tech Grant Winner Circle groups and called them the Entrepreneurs Club at Innovation Park. We've had a lot of positive feedback on that, so we're going to continue adding events. I'm trying to do it maybe two times a year for that. Discovery on Parade, we created a new display which can be viewed right there. We also had a drone video that was created, and that is on our website, and it's also on our YouTube channel as well. And the wrap cards, which were in front of you when you got here, was the other thing that we created for that, and we've been handing out, so that's been a marketing tool for us.
If you guys want more of those, please take them and yeah. Hand them out to folks.
We have plenty.
The black looks awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
You want to take yours for some
And we have more out there. I can get
okay.
More. The Entrepreneurial Excellence Program is underway, and we actually already have people signed up for the fall class. We have three companies so far who have actually signed up. Going into a little bit of what Kristen touched base on with strategic partnerships, I've talked to Kristen Roberts several times, the Mag Lab, and Faye Gibson, who is the branding consultant for the College of Engineering and is also the wife of Dean Gibson. I've been talking to her a lot. She's very, very interested in working together with us, with the Providence neighborhood, and we have a lot of great ideas that we're kind of working on. We're going to add... We're looking to add more people from FSU and FAMU into it as well to kind of make a group to see how we can really strengthen Innovation Park. And kind of the last thing that I wanted to touch base on is search engine optimization. I implemented an SEO strategy back in January, and since then I've been able to get us to own the keywords Innovation Park. We come up first, our Google page comes up with it, so that's a really big thing for us. And that's not just Innovation Park of Tallahassee, that's just Innovation Park, so the entire country. We also come up third and fourth on page one for just North Florida Research Park. And when you type in Florida Research Park, we actually come up on page one at number six. So we have a great presence on the website.
And what doesn't come up on page one?
What we don't want to talk about is what doesn't come up.
Okay, happy hour time. We finally did it.
Yes. Let's go. Yes. 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 I think
so. Even I can figure that one.
I've been waiting for that for
and probably, probably on like, I think the last time I saw it, it came up on like page 7, but not a lot of people go that far in depth, so we'll keep pushing that down with other stuff we have. I'm constantly updating the website. I'm now implementing the newsletter, and one of my long-term projects for after the tech grant is over is actually completely redoing the entire website and adding a few different things into it, such as a STEM page that Kristen and I have talked about as well. So there's more to come, but that's it for me for right now.
Doing an amazing job. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We're being really fortunate here.
Oh, here's the webpage. Sorry.
Our buyers.
That's the Innovation Park page.
The search.
And that's me logged out. Your algorithm changes based on what your Google account is and what your cookies are and what you look at. But if you actually log out, you type it in, that's what you get. So.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
All right. All right, Stephanie.
We thought since this was her first time, we'd throw her to the wolves. I told her how to
that sounds good.
My name is Stephanie Shulay with Topcore, and I'm the newer property manager. I've been managing the buildings for you guys for almost 2 months now, shy of a few days. I've just been listening the last 2 months, kind of getting to know the buildings, policy and budgets and all the fun stuff that go along with managing the buildings.
So, she's done a great job, let me tell you. She's dove right in, and she's looked at stuff that hasn't been looked at in a while, so it's been awesome.
Thanks, Greg.
Frank Langston said we were lucky.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we also took the opportunity to redesign the report that you get. So if you notice, it's different. It's a little more succinct.
Yeah. I like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, as you can see, we've got the occupancy there with the different buildings listed and leasable square feet, vacant square feet, percentages. And then we've got the non-routine repairs and maintenance that have happened in the last couple of months. There was a dead pine tree that I had removed in the stump round by Phipps building. And Phipps, they had a exhaust fan that went out in the shop area, so we needed to replace that. In the Morgan building, there were some lights that illuminate the Morgan building sign, and we had to reduce the ballast in those fixtures. And Johnson building, there were exterior lights right by the front door that needed replacement, with the ballast needed to be replaced. And then there was a downspout that was an additional cost to, I had to get a plumber out there because it was compacted, and they had to use a jetter to clear that out. That was done. And then in the process, I've got a couple of uplights that are near the Johnson building sign that replacing the ballast did not work, so it required a little bit more troubleshooting. Now, the two existing lights that are working, so that's the third light. For right now, we're going to hold off on the third light, because it's probably going to be about $1,000 to trace the line and find out where it's going, and there's two existing lights there, and the third one's just been removed for right now. Collins building, there was a soffit vent that a hinge had broken, and that's been repaired. And then deferred items were pending renovation, replacing all the ceiling tiles.
And the intent here is that we're going to track some of these more significant things that we're doing. And she's not going to report on all the details every board meeting, but I wanted you to see this new layout and have her talk about it. But one of the things that we're going to dive into a little bit more is on that deferred column, mm-hmm. to look at some of the things that are kind of hanging out there. Now, she's still got to go through and do her assessment of all the properties, and you may see some more things popping up on there, but this way they don't just sort of sit out there hidden and not address it.
And what deferred means?
It means just,
we're not going to do this right now,
yeah,
because more is needed.
We know about it. But whether it's budgetary or for whatever reason, or
whatever,
like in the case of Collins, we're not going to go replace ceiling tiles. We think we may be demoing the whole space.
So, do you want me to keep on going through every little thing?
No, I don't think you need to.
I followed up on collections. There's some late pays, so I've sent emails and calls, and most of these have already been remedied here. In the accounts receivable past due.
And this is something we've had a problem with in the past, was just, you know, it would hang out there, and I would see it, and we'd talk about it, but then we didn't know exactly what was being done and what was being followed up on. So this is just our way of tracking that. As a matter of fact, I'm asking Stephanie to provide this report to me every month, not just for the board meeting. So this will, and we have a monthly meeting set up to make sure we're going through all these issues and nothing's hanging out there for very long.
Is the last entry in that invoice date column correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I called yesterday.
No,
so
invoice
I followed up
call.
Yesterday.
Oh,
invoice
yeah,
yesterday.
It should be 6, it's not 7/1/17, it's not correct.
Oh.
16, maybe?
Yes, that one was one that they had skipped the payment. When we redid their contract, yes, it's probably 16. But the fact of the matter is, it's been dealt with.
I see that.
Yeah.
You all know about the HVAC preventive maintenance services. The contract was given to Parker Services, and we extended the contract for Heinz Nurseries, and the trees lining all of the parking lots, they need to be at Linda. They're getting rather low, so I'm working on getting quotes for that, getting that handled. I started obviously inspecting the building, walking, and I noticed that Heinz Nurseries wasn't adhering to their scope of work. The landscaping was not looking as it should. So basically, I called out the supervisors. We walked everything, and so a lot of adjustments have been made, and I've noted all of that.
I've noticed that we're extending a contract by a year.
Yes, sir.
But if they're not doing the job, is this the time to put a little pressure on them?
She's doing
it. I am.
We're
oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
That came to light after we extended the contract during the transition between the two property managers. It's fine, Dave. Okay. I'm not concerned about it.
Okay.
I'm not now.
Thank you. I also went ahead, and because whenever you take over a new property, you have to contact alarm companies and any emergency service monitoring providers, and they needed to make sure they have all the correct information. So in doing this, I also went ahead and contacted the GIS division with Consolidated Dispatch. Believe it or not, they did not know 2035 East Baldrick was Johnson and Collins. They didn't have that in their GIS map. So even though, yes, it doesn't even show, if you look on Google, it doesn't have from Google Earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it actually saves time. Now it's in their GIS map, and then they'll know these three buildings are one address, this is what they're called, and just save a little bit of time. So they know who's in what building and wherever else located, what the buildings are called.
Stephanie, I'm sorry, just interrupt for a second.
Sure.
Everything was great, Heinz, all that, but this piece stuck out to me. Oh. Thank you for tightening that up, particularly with the last hurricane, the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing particularly areas where there's the most people working, essential mm-hmm. services, things like that, is really critical. So it's huge that you got that done. Yeah.
Thanks. You. And then there was also a fire that prompted a fire inspection of Morgan and Johnson. And so I just got that report back, I think it was yesterday. So there's just a few small items that need to be taken care of, and I'm going to get started on that immediately as well.
And that fire inspection had fallen through the cracks because the previous record showed FSU as doing the fire inspections. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And post-restructuring, they were no longer doing it, so it kind of brought everything to the forefront. So we're getting it done, so we'll be good.
Stephanie, where do you hang out physically? Where is your office?
I'm located at the Talcor office off of Thomasville Road, Midtown.
Okay, yeah.
Close to two
regions. Yep,
that's right.
Okay,
yeah, great food.
I'm going to jump in my report if you're ready for that.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
There's a, I'm going to jump down to this one real quick, but this is more interesting than most of the stuff we're working on. Trails.
Come on, don't say that.
You know, audits and things like that.
Yes.
You know, we have in the budget, we have $140,000 in the budget to do the trail around the pond. We had gotten a preliminary estimate working with the county and gave me kind of the roadmap of the things that we need to look at and what the cost might be. So I did a little, started my investigation. I started looking at the contracts and looked at county contracts to find some services, some continuing services agreements that we could piggyback on. And I have found those. Particularly related to the parks and recreation component, but they have each of these different components have two or three vendors that we can go to and quickly get proposals to do these first steps, which is the engineering, the geotechnical, and the surveying. So it's my intention to go ahead and get those proposals and take those to the executive committee. But this Petrick Pond Park looks to me like an excellent example of what we're trying to do. So I went out and I did a little research last Saturday, and I have a research partner I want to show you. I don't have a good headshot, but you couldn't make it today to talk about it, but that's good. Yeah,
so he approved the trail?
He approved the trail many times.
With evidence there.
Yes, but he did point out the fact that in my plan, nowhere do I have dog poop stations.
Yeah. Anywhere.
So yeah, they do have those at this park.
So Ron, refresh my memory here. Where am I?
This is at Pedrick Road in Mahan, which is by the East Side Branch Library.
It's in the best county district, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That helps.
zoom out, there you go. That's right there. Okay.
We did it in conjunction with the Eastside Land Branch Library that opened maybe in 11
or so. So it's a stormwater facility.
It's a stormwater facility with the walking trail.
Yeah, it was really nice. It's got I think it has a ground shell base for the trail, 6 foot wide, which is exactly what we have in mind.
Which is accessible if it's packed enough.
Yes, it's very compact. There's not like loose gravel.
And you can ride a bike on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it seemed like a very nice trail. This one happens to be 3/4
roller ride. Couldn't roller
blade on it. No, I don't think so.
You can't what?
Roller blade.
Do you have your roller blades ready?
No, but you know.
We're sending you out there.
Skateboards, there's an element that uses those.
There were a couple young men fishing off this little bridge over here at the time. They have actually replaced this part, which looks to be underwater. They replaced that with a bridge. Yeah. Not really a bridge, but like a walkway. But then they have, like I said, a couple of dog stations, and then they have a couple of displays, and they really have just a few benches, not many benches around that park. It's 3/4 of a mile around. It's about 0.45 miles around this, depending on how we do it. But we're also talking about some extensions, and I can show you that real quick.
Is it lighted?
This initial plan is not lit. We talked about at least in putting conduit down in this initial phase and then coming back later and
I can't see where are we, this building,
sorry,
in that.
Hold on, am I in your way? My big head?
No, I just can't read it.
We're right here.
Got it. Okay. All right.
So and it may make more sense to take this and put it over here. But this just happens to be our property line here. We could do something there. All of this is considered recreation easement,
mm-hmm.
So we have no problem there. We may have a few issues where we may have to get some easements from FSU to do some of this. We would definitely have to get an easement from FSU to do this, but I think it would be in their interest to have some kind of extension over here, and it's not really impacting anything that I think they're probably going to do much with, but we can talk about that later. But so this was the basic idea. One of the challenges is not really having access from Levy Avenue. I don't know if the Maglev's willing to, you know, demolish any part of their building. So
probably not.
Okay. But the good news is the Maglev will have great access to the trail. So,
just on that note, Ron, I did a tour of the Maglev with Kristen maybe a year and a half ago, and happened to be mentioning to her the trails as we walked by the window. Random people in the hall stopped and said, yes, please. I mean, it was, Maglev is super excited about it.
And they're looking at putting a residential facility right here for the researchers that are, you know, staying
there.
Yes.
Right there where you're circling in that parking lot?
Yeah, only for their
people. Oh, this is not a big thing. Mm-hmm. This is a small thing.
Yeah, this is like a layover.
It might be
a full room.
I'm sorry, it's actually right here.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah, so, okay. Yes, with a little courtyard and stuff. They had talked about putting it here, but they were concerned about, you know, those folks work 24 hours a day, and, mm-hmm. and walking across the street at night was an issue. It's only like 12 beds. So that's the basic plan. We're ready to get started on at least getting those engineers engineers and others hired to get that process going.
So, Ron, you mentioned a couple of people. So the entities that have to be in on it, FSU, Maglev, anybody else?
As far as the potential easements?
I would say both. One, easements. Two, partners that we would want to talk to say, how does this work for you? You back right up to it or whatever.
Yeah.
So is that it? Just the two of them?
Well, I mean, obviously Dan Foss is impacted indirectly.
Well, pretty indirect.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one of my thoughts is, if you have people at the Maglev who are going, oh, that could be my walking loop. You can make a walking loop that goes onto somebody else's property, you know, if they have a sidewalk and comes back to the lake and whatever.
Yeah, right now, we just try to get the bare bones in here.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, given the resident or the recreational easement, there's not a lot of wiggle room on where we can do that. And I think but we, you know, we can, we're going to talk to all those folks. I'm going to bring back the final plan to the executive, or bring back a draft plan to the executive committee.
Yeah.
Who are basically represent most of those folks. So
we'll, sounds good.
Yeah, we'll get.
Yeah, this would go mostly as to where the entrances were and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and again, it's just, you know, we have all of this property here, and it's easy for us to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know that FSU wants to divide their existing property at this point. Mm-hmm. This is already divided. It gives access to all of this over here.
And you don't have to do all of them right now. You
yeah.
Have multiple.
And we can do more later, you know, when other things become settled.
I would encourage us to reach out to the tenants all around this thing and let them have a little bit of feel, like to have some input in it, to have a little bit of ownership into it. Maybe we've done some of that. But this is the type of thing which would really go a long way with proving our worth to some of them who, not so many years ago, didn't like us. But as much as we can, just to incorporate further discussion.
Okay.
Quick comment on that. I think even going back to the survey that was in our first year, yeah. year and a half, trails yeah. were top of everybody's list
right.
then.
Yeah.
I think communicating kind of what's happening out there is probably good. I'm not sure if around the pond, yes, the easement is going to be restrictive, but it's also a stormwater pond. I mean, that's part of the materials that yeah. might be best. This ground up shell that Ron's talking about, it's better than putting concrete down next to, I don't even know if we could put concrete mm-hmm. down that close to the pond, right? So there may not be a lot that they could have input in, but I would say if someone, I mean, at this point, if a department wanted to sponsor a bench, if a department wanted to, or a National Park Service wanted to sponsor, you know, exercise stations or something like that, there may be options like that, right? To put it out to the partners to say, we know this is a long time coming, we know you want it. We can't do everything, but think, you know, more strategically and see, you know, like, I don't know, National Park Service may have a really creative archaeological type thing, you know, bench or display they want to put out there or something. So that's one thought, maybe. And the other thought is if our, well, Keith's not here, but FSU and FAM would just start, I mean, in particular, I'm thinking about for you guys, start thinking about it. I don't know about the road around. I'm also concerned about leaving, but the road around by the water tanks, mm-hmm. if there's any way that you all could do sidewalks on that, and it would probably, we'd have to probably leave it to y'all or extend the gravel or something like that, some partnership with you on that, that seems a little like a missing link, but I'm not sure we could or you would want us to necessarily cover that on Maglab property. So I just wanted to mention that maybe that's a conversation.
That's where the frontage is, like 50 feet or something like that. The depth from
Paul Dirac
yeah.
itself, yeah. But the service road goes around and by the water tanks, right? Yeah. So that's where I was thinking if we needed another red line out even between the water tanks or looping right around there, do you think you guys might be interested in exploring that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, okay. I mean, security is probably the biggest issue by creating traffic going.
I don't know what they're planning.
Good point.
They've got some plans for construction of some, you know, highly sophisticated mm-hmm. buildings for equipment. It probably that would be one of the major potential limitations. I have no idea where they're going to put okay. that.
And I can talk to Eric Pong about
yeah.
that. That's great.
Okay. Well, the fact that this was high on their surveys
yeah.
gives us an opportunity to go back and say we're listening.
Yes.
We yep. hear you, and here we are.
Here's and I don't mean to, I'm sorry, yeah. I don't mean to be giving Denise assignments, but it fits right in with the
I
stuff she does with these
do.
People anyway.
Yeah.
I just want to be careful that we don't get in, and we've got basically 6 months left in this fiscal year,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And this first step is very basic. There aren't a lot of yep. decisions to be made. I like the ideas that you brought up about mm-hmm. sponsoring yeah. the other pieces. Mm-hmm. Which could be the next phase of this was
yeah.
let's get the trail down.
Yeah,
it's outside there. You know, if we get the conduit down as part of this, there's. I mean, everything else can be done
yeah.
later, and that's where they could have all the input. Say, oh yes, it's there. Let's make it even better.
Yeah.
For example, they did have. They my understanding is they did used to have some exercise stations that were kind of in this area,
mm-hmm.
and then there was something over here, but it's all overgrown and mm-hmm. who knows what happened to it, but. And that could be an enhancement that we add later. Mm-hmm. But my goal is within the next 6 months to have this substantially started, at least before the end of the fiscal year. And I don't want to get hung up on what is a something with very few decisions that can be made. Get hung up doing trying to schedule community groups and a lot of input. Let's get that after they can see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was our original goal for this, was to do something very public, very visual, that everyone says, yes, they did something, and that's my goal, is to get this done.
And that's what I want to communicate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we heard you, we did something.
Yes, and it'll be easier once it's done. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's your PR.
Targeted width on the trail.
6 foot.
6 foot. Okay.
One other thought on the PR piece. This could dovetail with other ideas, Denise, you may have for the fall, for events, but we have not done kind of a tenant appreciate. We've done stakeholder meetings, things like that. This is the first physical amenity that we might move forward on. I mean, I think most of the leadership knows where we've been, that we've been working towards it. This may be an amazing opportunity in the fall to do a midday lunch out there. Might cost us a little bit. Invite all the tenants, let them walk around, say a few things, encourage them to brainstorm. I don't know. Just wanted to toss that out to see what it might be a good opportunity. Yeah.
So I think to summarize, Ron is going to push this forward as quickly as possible. We are going to try to maximize the PR return from doing this.
Yeah. It's intimate, remember?
It is. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
If I can, the rest of this I can move through fairly quickly. First, I want to thank Kim Williams for helping me with the Collins building space. It is almost empty. We removed the Bing sign from the front of the building. At the same time, we went ahead and fixed the monument sign out front that had the Florida Department of Environmental Protection on there that hadn't been in there for a couple of years. And we have a few things left to do, and one of those is removing the hazardous materials. Eric gave me a contact of the person or the company that FSU uses. She's actually out of town right now, and she'll be back in a week and a half. So we'll start seeing what we've got to do to get rid of that stuff.
How much is there?
Well, that's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to go do a little inventory of it just to get my own sense. I also found on the county's website what they charge for the disposal piece to commercial enterprises. So if I do a little inventory, maybe just do some quick calculations and see if we can just do it ourselves.
They have a limit to quantities at no charge, too, so you can make multiple trips out there.
Yeah, well,
everybody can take a bottle.
Yeah, right? Yes.
There you go. Give you some more time. We'll do that. So we continue to work on that. On EEP, on the funding and the legislature, we had a recent update. It was included in the House bill, but it was not in the Senate budget.
Reverse, right?
I
thought it wasn't in House, it wasn't Senate.
It's not in our initial House budget. There is a standalone bill, however.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, so the bottom line is Jeff Sharkey with the county is aware of this and is working on it and is staying on top of it. Correct?
Correct. I do believe in the next few weeks there may be an opportunity for some of us to talk to certain people, other things like that. I'm going to ask my assistant to check on it again next week. But we need to start thinking about other funding or if the authority has different ideas for EEP in case this doesn't go through. Everybody is in a defensive posture right now.
Yeah.
I don't need to say anything else about that, but and this is an economic development program. That's where the fight is right now. So.
We do still have $35,000 in escrow.
Yeah.
Should we choose to Good use point. That?
Dustin, you got anything else with the city? Have y'all been talking about EEP at all? Or
From our standpoint, we communicated it to our legislative delegation when they first. But as far as, I mean, we sort of been kind of.
Touch it one more time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, in addition to it being economic development, it also is quasi local government related as well, which is two times a prize this legislative session. So, not just be non-optimistic, but I mean, I think unfortunately it's tough for everybody.
Non-optimistic.
Right.
Yeah. I want to say pessimistic, not optimistic. I'm not pessimistic. It's just not super optimistic.
On the, I have one good piece of news. We actually got money back from someone. We got $3,902 back from a tech grant recipient who said they no longer needed it.
Wow.
Which has never happened that I'm aware of. It was Nano Petronas Group. Their use of the funds was to prepare their SDTR Phase 1. They actually were successful in getting that. They've had to shut down their company for 8 months in between now and when they actually get that funding. And they also have a couple of potential commercialization partners. They're interested in the technology. And they're working through the FSU's Office of Commercialization on that. So that's good news. So the guy was so happy. He says, yeah, I just want to make sure somebody else can benefit from this. So,
that's cool.
My understanding is he may be involved in working with another company to help them, a company who happens to be a tenant here, to help them with some of their funding applications. So,
that's great.
Now, as far as leasing goes, National Park Service is more of the same. There has been movement. There's a representative from their regional office in Atlanta that went to D.C., and I'm supposed to have another report anytime soon. I actually spoke with David yesterday, or emailed him yesterday, and that's the last I had. They're still running through their budget issues and trying to sort that out. But I understand that President Trump gave his salary for the first quarter to the National Park Service. I don't know if you saw that in the paper. So
can we get it directed here?
I don't think it's enough, but
$76,000 something.
Yeah. So
please start.
Yeah. So we'll continue to work on that. More interesting news on the FAMU Department of Entomology, who's interested in moving into the rest of the vacant space in the Morgan Building. Krista, do you want to update on that?
Ron and I have kind of had a two-pronged approach to this. He's been talking to the dean, vice president of research, others. I went and met with President Robinson. We had a fantastic meeting. It was the first time we had met. He actually signed the MOU years ago, the last time he was interim. So didn't have to do a complete brief, but it was an update. He told me where they were on their master planning, things like that. So we had a good overview. He is as committed to the park as ever. Then we talked specifically about entomology, and I've been practicing that because I told him it was the bug department if I couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
It was a good conversation, but no specifics. So then there was an email that Ron was copied on or forwarded that contemplated a meeting in late April, early May. I took that and sent an email direct to President Robinson, said that we were not trying to circumvent anything, but reminded them that we have others who want the space. We very much want FAMU in that space. We've done everything we can to keep it open, but we need an answer soon. And they moved the meeting up. So they've got it, I think, on the 14th. We should have an answer soon after that.
Yeah, he said immediately following the meeting.
Immediately following the meeting, yes.
Yeah,
his assistant yesterday called me back and said, immediately following that meeting, thank you for the specific language. That was her language. That he would call me personally and tell me whether or not they're moving forward. And we got some information about what their thinking is on this. So don't really know. I don't know if you want to share anything else with that, but I think that's sufficient for
now. Exactly.
Yeah. So
it's good to be powerful. Thank you.
It's good to have good partners. I'll say that. Yes. Yeah.
But he's a busy. He is a busy man.
I'm hopeful he is the next full time president.
I will say it gave me a window in the master planning and strategic plan discussion into some of the things that happened the last couple of years and Larry's approach to really kind of having a more holistic view. They're not necessarily looking at the park property yet, but they know this is an asset and he is committed to the partnership. So I think he would have more power to push those ideas through should he be permanent, and that's probably good for everybody.
Yeah. I agree.
And our partnership with the engineering school is robust, and Denise is doing that. So I think we're in a good place with FAMU right now, but we should know by next Wednesday, and I know we're all going to report back to you.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Send us an email.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, if you get good news.
Soon as we
leave.
If I get bad news, I won't tell you.
That's fair.
But you do have a potential tenant to take a portion of the space should this not...
No, the situation is right now is we have an existing tenant who has taken part of the space, and that was NWRDC and their administrative offices. They needed to expand. And they took over, I think it was about 1,500 square feet that included some leftover furniture that, that Dan Foss had left when they vacated that space. But we did it on a month-to-month basis. Their leases, their entire leases in that building is now month-to-month with a 90-day notice. So their challenge is they're pushing us to get make a decision so they can get a longer-term lease. If not, they will probably look at moving their entire space. So it's a win-lose for us. The net is still a greater... Now, they don't have to move their other... the other portion, and I'm hoping that there's an advantage to having that administrative space across the street, but they're also probably going to want to have all their administrative folks in one space, so I don't know what's going to happen next with that, but we have to get a decision one way or the other, or we could potentially have a completely vacant building, or nearly vacant building, more vacant building.
Because it's not optimistic. Words are tough, man.
We're a week here. That is all I have.
A non-occupied thing. Okay.
And Dustin, I need to talk to you before you.
Thank you.
I need to talk to you.
Anybody have any new business? Anything that we need to follow up on? Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
1:15.
Yes, actually, Paul, I need to talk to you before we...
All right, go ahead.
I have sent to Angie.
Where?